Good evening and welcome to District 57 Board of Education regular business meeting. It is Thursday, March 17th, 2016. It is 7 p.m. Roll call, please, Virginia.
Mr. Compasto?
Here.
Mrs. Kobus?
Here.
Mrs. Walchuk?
Here.
Mr. Neen?
Here.
Mr. McCluskey? Mr. Sonnenfeld? Mrs. Nadel?
Here. All right. Our first order of business is communications. There is no NSSEO report for tonight. Ed Foundation.
I was not able to attend the meeting. I had a conflict. So
okay. I do believe Eileen has some information.
I don't have the exact amount for how much it was for grants, but the majority of the grants were given out, which they're all excited about. The event might have been smaller, but they had just as successful a night with a smaller crowd as they did with a bigger crowd. So they were very happy. They also did, the fund a cause was the Chromebooks, card of it. They had earned $5,500 in the Ed Foundation toss and the other five to give a full cart for
excellent
Chromebooks. So everybody
great.
Should be getting their answers and getting their stuff soon.
Excellent, thank you. Any PTA, PTO reports?
Sure.
Jen?
Yes, I attended Westbrook's PTA event yesterday. And just a couple things. One, Ms. Golick had mentioned that Ms. Gore will be coming back after spring break. So it's very nice. And the PTA president commented that, who was there also last year, that they've had a great time working with Ms. Golick and that the transition was smooth and perfect and they really enjoyed it. So very positive remarks. Also, they mentioned, Ms. Golick mentioned that the second trimester has been completed at Westbrook, that they recently did a first grade, the first graders went to Lions Park for a superhero play, I think, either play or musical. Play, maybe. Musical.
Oh, thank you. Is that the fifth grade musical?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, and the kids loved it. My daughter can attest to that as well. and then they just mentioned that they are still looking for some chairs and office chairs and officers as well. I think they have their treasurer, but they're still looking for a second PTA president. So if anyone knows anybody who might be interested for Westbrook, they also have some, as I mentioned, committee chairs that are open, but they still need to finalize that. That's it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
Hate to put you on the spot, Joe Sonnenfeld, but do you have a Lincoln PTA report?
I do, and I think I left it on my desk.
He does. Well, I'll give you a minute to get settled, and I'll just say a few board president report things. I'll kind of mix it up. So coming up in April, there will be a North Cook school board event. It's April 5th. It's in the evening, and there will be a presentation on what, Jen, you have your thing in front of you.
On improving school security.
Improving school security. So if you are going to go, please let Virginia, no.
Where is it at this year?
La
Cafe La Cave. It's been there several years. So, and it's sponsored by Illinois School Board, our association. You ready, Joe?
So, yeah, I left it on my desk. But I remember off the top of my head, I was looking at it, obviously, on my desk. So, I was at the Lincoln PTA meeting. It was just this past Tuesday evening, and some of the things that they talked about, they do have a number of executive positions and committee chairs that they still need to fill for next year, so they're looking for volunteers to do that. They talked about planning for eighth grade activities at the end of the year. They do a number of special events for the eighth graders. So that's being planned. Also, staff appreciation in the spring or at the end of the school year. I'm not sure exactly when that happens, but that the planning for that is starting. And then they talked about, they had a good cultural arts program, a poetry slam. They brought in a group that did, first they did a presentation for the general student body and then worked with individual teams. And there was a lot of good feedback about that. So I think those are the major. Oh, they're also looking at reworking the PTO website, and they're going to do some work on that as well. So those are the kind of the main things that I recall from the meeting on Tuesday.
Excellent. Very good memory. Thank you, Joe. The last thing under communications is I just wanted to formally introduce Adam Parisi, who will be our new Assistant Superintendent of Finance and Operations. It will be in our business later, but welcome. We're glad to have you with us. All right, community comments. This is the first opportunity for anyone who's visiting us in the to come forward to the mic for any comments. There will be another opportunity later, so if you think of something, please feel free to come forward. Okay. Staff reports. Our first staff report is the 2016 satisfaction survey results. Dr. Allmiller?
We have with us tonight Mr. Bill Foster from School Perceptions. School Perceptions was the company that we used to compile the results of our satisfaction survey, and he's going to present the data to you now.
Well, thanks for having me tonight. I was here, I think, just 2 years ago, kind of presenting similar results. Actually, tonight we have better results than 2 years ago, so it's always fun to come and present positive results. So I'm going to go through the report, and really, if you have questions as we go, feel free to ask questions. So the survey summary, we mailed out a paper survey to every household that looked like this. People could take it online or they could take it via paper. As of the time we wrote the report, we had over 1,400 responses, 444 by paper, and we had a response rate of about 17%. For the full sample, we have a margin of error plus or minus 2.7%. So from a statistical standpoint, it's very good. What you'll find is when you hit about 400, things don't change much. And that was really the case in your survey as well. It settles down and it's very solid data. So who took the survey? We look at demographics such as age. When I look at this chart, I always go to the right, far right. I look at the seniors to make sure that our seniors are well represented. Typically, 2010 census has you around 16.8%, so you're actually well represented for seniors. And with our survey, it always biases a bit towards parents and a bit more towards staff. And so in some of the data or in some of the analysis, we're gonna break out those three groups so that we're sure that all three groups are well represented. We have a question, how long have you lived in the district? It looks like when you come to Mount Prospect, you stay in Mount Prospect. So 61% of the respondents have been here for more than 10 years. 13% of our sample were employees. 48% were parents and 52% were non-parents. And if they have school-aged children, which schools they attend, and we had representation all the way down, including 8% private school, and 0.13% homeschool, so I might have been one or two people. Please mark all of other relationships you have with the district. So you could be a parent of a graduate, 47%, 6% grandparents, 15% were graduates as well. Then we got into kind of budget planning to set the table or create a context for this. We wanted to share that the operational spending of the District 57 compared to a lot of our neighboring districts is actually the lowest, pretty significantly lower than districts like Des Plaines and River Trails, about $5,000 or less per student. That's pretty significant. So then we asked about funding priorities. Specifically, we asked people to pick the top three. Here we thought it made sense to break the data out into three mutually exclusive subgroups. In other words, you can't vote more than once. If you're staff, you're staff, so you're in the first group. And then if you're not a staff and you're a parent, you're in the second group. And if you didn't get counted as a staff or a parent, then we put you in the third group. We happened to sort this on the third column. You could sort it on anyone, but the non-parent, non-staff residents. We sorted on the far right column, but there was consensus across the board, high quality staff. Everyone's experienced a great teacher in a classroom. They know that's really important. And So that was the number one issue in terms of funding. Number two for our non-parents, non-staff was extra reading and math support for struggling students. That was important. Co-curriculars and other extracurricular programs, actually, music, art, and athletics actually came out third for that group and second highest for staff and parents, or not quite, but close. And then small elementary and middle school class sizes, that was the third highest budget priority. Things at the bottom list, parent community communications. Again, that's not to say it's not important. It's just to say, as you think about budgeting, it's less important than some of these other things that are in front of it on the list. So then we asked the question about, given the district's financial situation, what advice would you give the board? This gets into a kind of an operational referendum. Should we explore a referendum to better fund our schools? And really the majority of the staff, parents, as well as the non-parent, non-staff are encouraging the board to explore the possibility of a referendum. We had about 30% of our non-parent, non-staff. And by the way, that's really the most important group when you get to financial support questions, because they represent about 75 or 80% of the community. But only a third of that group said do not pursue anything, and almost a third of that group said they were undecided. So there's some work to do, but generally speaking, there's also an awareness that you spend a lot less than other districts, and that you might need to consider a referendum. Then we got into the facilities portion of a potential referendum. This would be funded differently, but yet still approved through a referendum. There was really two areas where we tested. One was a building referendum to add classrooms and expand support areas such as a gym and multi-purpose room at Westbrook Elementary. And then if we did that, if we had space, we would need more money to heat, clean, and operate it. Here we asked again, what advice would you give the school board regarding the possibility of offering full-day kindergarten? Here you can kind of pick which group you want to look at, but I'd argue probably non-parent, non-staff is the most important, again, because they represent the majority of the voters. They're saying 43% do not pursue a referendum, and a less 33% said consider a referendum to add classroom support areas. And we have 24% who are undecided or need more information. That kind of flips where both the staff and the parents are leaning more towards considering. And then we asked, what advice would you give the school board regarding Lincoln Middle School? Here it was pretty well split. You had two options, or actually three, I guess. You could invest in upgrading the existing building. You could consider replacing it, or you could be undecided. So here it was really, I guess arguably, if you're gonna lean towards investing in what you have versus building new, and yet a very large percentage, 33%, or a little over 32, 34, 38% saying they need more information. I guess in my experience, that really comes down to what are you gonna do and how much is it gonna cost me? That's what people wanna know. If you answer that question, then they'll give you a better answer on yes or no. Then we switched gears and went back to communication. This is something we had asked 2 years ago. What is your preferred method of receiving District 57 information? Here we thought it makes sense to remove the staff, because with the staff, we've got different modes of communication. So strictly, this is our external communication. So non-parents are the red, blue are the parents. Number one for parents is the superintendent's message. Number two is the teacher's newsletters. And number three was the messages from the Board of Education. For the non-parents, 41% read the Daily Herald. Is the Daily Herald here tonight? Not too bad, because that's pretty good for a local paper. And then the e-newsletter was second that sent out, and superintendent's message, about a third of the non-parents read that as well. Elaine, are you tweeting these days?
Pardon?
Are you tweeting?
Yes.
You are, okay. It's growing, but we're still 1 to 3% that are on Twitter. How often do you read the district's biannual newsletter? Again, we broke it out by parents and non-parents. 51% of parents are saying always, 30% are saying sometimes, 9%. So there's only 3% that are the parents that are saying they don't read it, which is very good. And really only 7% of the non-parents don't read it of those who receive it. It's pretty popular. And then for parents, we have another newsletter. And again, only 2% of our parents aren't reading that, with the 82% are saying they always read it. And I think in the past you've attempted community forums. And so the question was, should we continue that venue to communicate with our community? And here it was pretty clear, yes. 83% and 89% of our parents and non-parents said yes, you should continue to offer those. We didn't ask, are you going to come to them? We asked, should we offer them? So then we went to an overall satisfaction section. These were questions we asked back in 2013. And so we always look for longitudinal changes. Are we getting better? Are we not? And the answer is you're getting better. And you couldn't have been too much better than you were. So it always scares me when we ask these questions, because you were at 5% that either disagreed or strongly disagreed. That dropped to 3% who I guess would not recommend this district to a friend moving into the area. So there's improvement on that question. I'm satisfied with the District 57's communication. By the way, these are very good numbers. It's not uncommon to see a district with 35% of the respondents saying they either disagree or strongly disagree with the district's communication. You're at 6%. So it's very good. You were at 9% in 2013. You're at 6% now. Financial management, you were at 21% that were either disagreeing or strongly disagreeing with their satisfaction with financial management. That dropped down to 18%. And then the overall, how would you rate District 57 and neighboring districts? You could be much better, a little better, the same, a little worse, or much worse. And again, you can see the bias is leaning towards a much better, a little better, with only 8% saying, and actually in 2016, 7% saying a little worse, and 4% saying much worse. So 11% that are not the same or better. Very good. And then one overall satisfaction. Again, these questions correlate. We had 8% that were either not satisfied or very unsatisfied in 2013, with 5% in 2016. So staff performance, this was a question that was a little bit different. We asked, please rate the overall perception of the District 57 in the following areas. You could be excellent, good, fair, or poor. We created a simple average, so if everyone would have said excellent, it would be a 4. If everyone would have said poor, it would be a 1. So again, we looked at the data from the staff, parents, and non-parents. And I guess I have the luxury that maybe you don't, and that is to compare this data to similar districts. So just to put it into context, what's probably average for a central office response is about 2.4. So you're at a 2.89, so you can say, ooh, that's not good, it's low. And by the way, Board of Education and central office are always the lowest on this list. You all have to make the most difficult decisions, and as a result, you're not always as popular as teachers and support staff, so that's common. But just to put it into context, you're quite a bit better. In fact, I'd say significantly better than similar districts as far as really across the board, teachers all the way down to central office. So we poked into the calendar issue. This was only parents that were responding, and I think the our high school district is modifying, District 214 is modifying their calendar, so we had some options. We could modify our calendar, we could maintain the current calendar, or it doesn't make a difference to me. So the majority of parents said, let's go ahead and match the District 214 start and end dates. So it lines up. I would imagine if I've got a child in that school, it probably makes sense. It's nice to keep it the same. So the majority said, let's change that. Let's modify that calendar. So then we get into the individual longitudinal analysis at each school. So if I was a parent, the way the survey worked, it branched. So if I had a child at Westbrook and maybe another school, I were given these same questions twice on the survey, and I could respond for each school. So we've got the average was calculated in this case. Strongly agree was a 5, agree was a 4, disagree was a 2, and strongly disagree was a 1. We didn't ask a neutral, so we asked people to kind of lean towards either agreeing or disagreeing. We then created a simple average, and then we compared that to the 2013 data. The column on the right is the difference. It is significant in our world if it's more than 0.2. So it's going to turn red if it's less than a negative 0.2, and if it's more than a positive 0.2, it's going to turn green. So green is good, red is bad. That's the code here. And as you can see for Westbrook, across the board, almost on every item, we had a significant improvement since 2013. Fairview, that's the school we're in right now. Again, across the board, things improved, with three items being significantly improved, that being the appropriateness of discipline, my child feels safe, and the school provides effective programs and services to help address my child's social and emotional needs. Lions Park improved in all areas, with again three areas being significantly improved. Teachers differentiate and adapt the curriculum to meet my child's needs. The school provides effective programs again, and my child has access to additional support when needed. Those are all significant improvements. The middle school actually really didn't, it was pretty much the same it was in 2013. And by the way, it had very good numbers in 2013. So even though they're a little bit lower, there's nothing significantly lower. And in comparison, you know, when you do really good, it's easier to be a little lower than a little higher, but across the board, about the same, a few lower, a few higher. We did a common analysis. These are the prevailing themes. I think overall, most people are satisfied with the communications, but we did ask a question, what suggestions would you give to improve communication? So we've got kind of a bucket full of suggestions that are, you know, specific, but they're not necessarily a big theme, but we wanted to capture and recognize that there were some advice that we captured to improve communication. Some respondents support full day kindergarten, while others feel it is not a top priority. And as you can imagine, that correlates with whether or not you've got a preschool kid. If you don't, it's pretty important. Or if you do, it's pretty important. If you don't, it's less important. While respondents appreciate the district's efforts to keep technology current, some offered suggestions for improvement. So that was an area that, again, that's a moving goal. And technology is always changing, but that was an area where you could focus some resources. Respondents expressed concern regarding any increase in potential taxes, because we were talking about referendums. That popped up, and primarily from our non-parent, non-staff respondents. And there are many comments about the district's strengths, including caring staff, rigorous and differentiated curriculum, and involved parents. And that was it.
Thank you, Bill. Board, are there any questions or comments?
Is Eileen? Is there any way that we could see the actual comments is that accessible to us, available?
We could certainly make that available. We can put together, what we typically do is a comment summary.
Okay.
I guess my advice for the board, and really for all boards, is you want to use the quantitative results to drive your strategy, and then maybe read the comments to refine it. But to try to set strategy based on comments will drive you crazy. Because you'll read one person who loves elementary foreign language, and the next person will think that's the dumbest thing in the world. And then that, you know, so you can't.
Right.
You'll never get anywhere. So you really want to use the quantitative to set strategy, and then you can read the comments after that.
Okay.
Dennis?
Do the results coordinate with the general public? I mean, I know that they're broken down and it does look like they're proportional, but Is there more of a feeling that the folks who didn't reply don't care as much? And so that, can you say that, you know, the non-parent population, non-student parent population who don't have kids in the school, that the results that we see here are going to coordinate with the folks that didn't answer the?
Yeah, so typically the way, if a person really has a bee in their bonnet about not liking something that the district is doing, they'll take the survey. Mm-hmm. So you tend to attract people who really feel really good or really have an issue. So it typically is pretty representative. The other thing is, as it relates to referendum preparation, it also tends to be pretty predictive. Those who have developed an opinion, who talk to their friends and neighbors, are usually the ones who take the survey. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of the influentials in the community, if you will. Those that don't know, don't care, could care less, didn't take the survey, but also haven't thought about the referendum. So it works pretty well.
Thank you.
I have a couple things. Yeah. I would just say that, you know, in the past I've taken the time to go into the administrative office and read through the comments, and I've always found it enlightening, so I hope to do that again. And the other thing I want to do is just thank our principals that are here and for, you know, the consistent work and effort they put in trying to improve the programs in their buildings. You know, when something goes wrong, you always hear about it, you know, and you can see, you know, if something were to go wrong right before people took a survey, you know, it would kill our numbers, right? But when you're doing things right, you don't often see as much of a influence in these survey numbers. You know, you might see a little bit of uptick. So just the fact that, you know, we have decent numbers, we have the public seems to be generally happy with the job that we're doing. And the fact that that stays consistent over 3 years and even improves in some areas, and the areas that I notice improved in are really important areas. I just want to thank the principals for their hard work in the buildings. And at the same time, in regards to communication, which is always a moving target, people's expectations change, and what some people consider good communication is not sufficient for other people. So, you know, you're in a position of always trying to please everyone, which is almost impossible to do. But Dr. Allmiller has been making a really a consistent effort on that front as well, and it shows in the numbers. So I just want to thank her for her efforts in communication area.
Joe.
Yes, a couple questions. First one, I might probably should have asked several weeks ago before the survey occurred, but is there an effort, or what is the effort to involve people that are non-English speaking? Is there some way they could be involved in the survey?
Right, we usually make the survey available in Spanish.
Okay, good. So how is that available to the folks if they contacted the
typically in paper form. We can, our experience is that we can run parallel languages on our platform so people can toggle back and forth. Typically, we don't see a real high Hispanic rate that way. Kind of the best practice is if you want to invite that population in and talk about it and serve food, that's great. That actually works really good, but it was made available.
Okay, thank you. Other question. This, you said the survey was distributed to residents, but I see on the results that there's a small percentage that was non-resident. Who were they?
How'd that happen? There's two ways it happens. One is we asked all staff to participate. I think that's the primary way. And we did that because we're gonna ask some financial support questions. So we removed, so when it says resident, you had to be a resident to have an opinion about the referendum. So although we wanted all staff to participate, so that I think the majority of that, I'm guessing, is that. The other way it could happen is if we do a bulk mailing, and it's possible that it ended up in a neighboring district and somebody might have taken it for whatever reason, even though they don't live in the district, they get removed as well from the financial support questions.
Okay, thank you.
Primarily staff, though, I'm guessing.
Elaine, I have a question for you, not to put you on the spot. And it's sort of, I guess, a question for the board, too. What is the purpose of this survey? So what do we do with it now that we have the results?
Well, findings from the survey help guide us when we're revising the strategic plan. And one of the items on there will be updating the action plan regarding referendum. It's always good to take the temperature of the community, staff and community, and that's what the survey does give us. It's good to hear that we're doing things well, and we'll keep trying to do the things that we're doing to maintain that. If it showed up that we had some areas of weakness, we'd want to address those more specifically. It's really a very nice position to be in to have such good results.
Okay, so I guess my question is, let's say for the facilities questions on there that we got data back on, there's not a majority of people that are telling us to really do anything, you know, don't tear down and rebuild Lincoln. There's not a majority of people that said that. There wasn't a majority of people that said to refurbish the building. There wasn't a majority of people that said to expand Westbrook for the kindergarten program. But those are still going to be issues moving forward.
Right.
At least that's the way
yeah.
I look at it, because the issues don't go away simply because the survey says that it's not supported by a majority of the people. Am I thinking of this correctly?
You are. I believe that what it says is the onus of responsibility comes back to the Board of Education to make those determinations. You can't look to the survey and say, well, overwhelmingly we were given the message of thus and so. So the decision making is really back with the board.
Right, and the way I look at it, at least, is the board, us seven board members, we're elected by the community to represent them. And part of that responsibility is to educate ourselves on the individual issues that are, come before us. And we then become more educated than the general community on the issues. So hopefully we can make informed decisions. And so while this data is important, and I'm very pleased that we did it and of the results of it, I just want to be clear that the way I think about it is it's a good starting point, but it doesn't replace the work the board has to do.
No, not at all.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. There will be a time for comments.
Just one quick question in regards to what was asked. You're talking about different languages available, and the only ones other than English or Spanish. You have a considerable Polish population, for example, in this town, as well as other Eastern European people, as well as Asians, and I think they need to be considered as well.
We know that, and that is certainly something that is continuing to change year after year. So it is something that we will continue to address within all the work that we do. Yeah. Any other board comments, Jen?
Thank you. Maybe it's on. Okay. Can anyone hear me? I think so. Okay. Thank you. I guess my only comment, and thank you for putting those two slides up, and then just to kind of piggyback on what Joe was just saying, I think what's interesting too is the undecided piece. And when you have specifically, considering the district's financial situation, what advice would you give in regards to the referendum? But then also, I think it's the next slide after, specifically about Lincoln. See, that was about kindergarten, but also if you look at the undecided, it's not 50%, but it's very close to it. So what I see on these slides, and I agree with everything you said, Joe, is just that we have to figure out as we move forward and as we make decisions, how do we give that information out? Mm-hmm. How do we keep the public informed properly, and so that they can feel comfortable to make the decisions? Because
right.
We've just kind of talked about it casually, maybe the last few years, and I would use that word I think that's accurate, because we haven't made any decision, and we have a lot to determine. But I do think that I think that's a positive reflection, in that if we provided the information, perhaps the decision would be positive, leaning one way or another, or not. But we do have to understand that process as well. Mm-hmm. So
I agree, too. I think it's a honest reflection of the community in where they're at. And we've always said, you know, whatever we move forward with, we need to continue to educate our community. And this just really solidifies the fact that not only ourselves need to be educated, but everybody else along with it.
We do a lot of surveys for the sake of referendum preparation that are very specific. So the entire survey is allocated towards talking about, for instance, in your case, it might be, and you have to get down into, you know, a new building would look, or not even so much look like this, but would be like this, and most importantly, how much would it cost? And then a remodeling could be done, you know, either to a lesser degree or a heavy remodeling or whatever, and it could cost this. And this is how much it would cost me. And as soon as you get that, typically your undecideds will drop to about 8, 9, 10% once they have that information. So this is kind of our big toe in the water, I think. But we haven't told them exactly what we're going to do or considering doing, much less how much it would cost. So once you have that information, then people will, then they'll line up and say, okay, I've got an opinion. The other real important piece in terms of community engagement is communicating the need. You know, mm-hmm. you know, the building infrastructure, how old is it? You know, what's the useful life of the various systems? Why would you do such a thing? And as people understand, people are more likely to support a plan that they understand. And that's kind of the next step of, you know, once you get into what am I going to do and why, then people go, okay, that, they'll either think that makes sense, or I don't agree, I don't like that plan. But that's really the next part of this.
Dennis.
One real quick, and it's more of a comment. I always am amazed when I see the operational spending per student. I think that chart, to me, says everything. Because when you look at that, I don't think the folks in the community understand what the administration and the principals and the teachers and the board have, the amount of money that we have to deal with. And it's a substantial amount, but when you put it into comparison to the other adjoining districts, we are less than $6,000 per student than another district that's right next to us. And you know, you hear a lot, and we're actually more than 1,000 below the state average. And you know, you hear a lot about Chicago Public Schools. We're almost $4,000 per student less than the Chicago Public Schools. So when you look at this area, we are probably, if we're not in the northern part of Shikuk, we are probably do the most with the least amount of money. And you really have to look at the number, because even the one that's next to us, 25, they're 20% higher. They're over $2,500 more per student. When you add that up on a per student basis, it comes to millions and millions of dollars.
It really is.
Any other board questions, comments? And I'll just, you know, sum up and say, you know, the community survey is very important to the board. We use it as we move along with our board business. It certainly doesn't make our decisions, but it certainly, you know, is there so that we can refer to it, so we know where the community is thinking. As Joe said, we represent the community, and you know, we want to be able to, you know, be reflective of that when possible. So, thank you very much, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is the superintendent report.
Yes, first I'll start with the FOIA report, and I have quite a few of these. We had 5 FOIA requests in the course of the last month. So per requirements of Open Meetings Act and FOIA, I have these 5 following requests to report. The first request was received on January 29th from a Gabriella Lorencella of Smart Procure. It was a commercial request, and she asked for information on purchase orders dated March 21, 2015 to current. We responded to this request on February 26th and sent her a purchase order list and a vendor report. The second request was received on March 1st from Bob Kaplan of Illinois Retired Teachers Association. He asked for a list of administrators and teachers retiring from District 57 at the end of this school year. We responded on March 3rd, letting him know that Lori Becker and Sue Boundy were retiring in June. The third request was received on March 2nd from Alex Nishvatal of ABC Human Wildlife Control and Prevention, asking for the most recent awarded contract for pest control services and all bid tabulation sheets associated with the invitation for bid released June 2015. We responded on March 4th and furnished a purchase order and agreement with Anderson Pest Solutions. We explained that this item did not go out for bid because it was not necessary due to the dollar amount. The fourth request was received on March 5th from Kevin Pendergast of KP Technology. He asked for the 2016 E-rate RFP, the scoring matrix, and the winning contract. We responded on March 9th and furnished the RFP, the scoring matrix, and Heartland Business Systems response to the bid. And the fifth request was received on March 9th from John Hussein of Appraisal Research Counselors. He requested information on the purchase of 19 South Bussey Road, the property adjacent to Westbrook School. He asked if the district paid a market price. He also inquired about the demolition costs and if the property was to be used for parking only. We responded on March 11th and furnished him a copy of the appraisal report for the property and an invoice for the demolition. In addition, on my superintendent's report, just attendance at meetings and events that I've been in the last month, I attended a legal workshop on the Every Student Succeeds Act and Senate Bill 100 on February 22nd in Naperville. I met with State Superintendent Tony Smith and superintendents from DuPage and North Cook counties to discuss the KIDS assessment on February 24th. A follow-up meeting was scheduled for this afternoon, and I asked Susan to attend on my behalf. That's why she's not here at the meeting tonight. I attended Chamber of Commerce networking breakfast on March 2nd. Met with Mike Cassidy and Bill Cooney and Dale to discuss site improvements at Westbrook on March 2nd. Attended the North Suburban Superintendents Association meeting on March 8th. Attended a symposium with Dale on collective bargaining hosted by IASBO on March 8th. Attended the North Cook IASA meeting on March 11th, where our guest speaker was Dr. Tony Smith. Met with the MPA executive team and administration and with MPESP Communications Councils both yesterday on March 16th. They were brief meetings. The agendas were really very brief this month. And then I have one other item to make mention of. There is a notice of one non-renewal due to a change in early childhood program delivery. Legal counsel recommendation is to make the board aware during my superintendent's report, no board action is required because this is not a matter of a reduction in force, nor is it a release due to performance. The individual is Sue Stoltzer. She's been notified via letter. She will be certainly welcome to apply for any openings that we may have. She simply doesn't have the credentialing that is necessary for the change in the position for next year. And one last thing, I would like to make note that we've applied for the Social Media Award through INSPRA, which is the National School Public Relations Association. I'd like to thank Jenny Quinn, who's in the audience tonight, for doing that application for us. Thank you, Jenny. And that's my report.
Thank you. We will move on to our consent agenda. We have six items tonight. Number one, minutes of the following Board of Education meeting, regular business meeting February 18th, 2016, open and closed session, and special meeting February 22nd, 2016, which was our community forum that was an open session. We will do those separately due to attendance. Number two, a few personnel transactions. Approve second year of leave of absence for one certified employee. Approve the resignation of four certified employees. Approve the resignation of one administrative employee. Approve the employment of one administrative individual. Approve the employment for two non-certified individuals. Approve the resignation of two non-certified employees. Number three and four, there are the financial reports and accounts payable for February 2016. Dennis, I believe you reviewed them.
All good.
Everything's in order.
Yes.
Excellent. Number five, approve for food service intergovernmental agreement. This is something we do annually, and it has come before us at this time. And number six, approve establishment of new bank account. And this is due to changes within state law. So there was a memo in the packet. Are there any consent agenda items with the exception of number one, the minutes of the meeting, to be pulled? Okay. So can I get a motion to approve, number one, regular business meeting, February 18th, 2016?
So moved.
Second.
Raymond Jones.
Mr. Capasto?
Yes.
Mrs. Kobus?
Yes.
Mrs. Palalchuk?
Yes.
Mr. Lean?
Abstain.
Mr. McCluskey?
Abstain.
Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Yes.
Mrs. Nadel?
Yes. Can I get a motion to approve special meeting February 22nd, 2016?
So moved.
Second.
Mrs. Kobus?
Abstain.
Mrs. Palalchuk?
Yes.
Mr. Lean?
Yes.
Mr. McCluskey?
Yes.
Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Yes.
Mr. Capasto?
Yes.
Mrs. Nadel?
Yes. Can I get a motion to approve consent agenda items number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Motion to approve 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Second.
Mrs. Palalchuk?
Yes.
Mr. Lean?
Yes.
Mr. McCluskey?
Yes.
Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Yes.
Mr. Capasto?
Yes.
Mrs. Kobus?
Yes.
Mrs. Nadel?
Yes. Thank you. Unfinished business, we have none. This is the second opportunity for community comments. If anyone present, you want to go up to the mic because we tape this, so then we can hear what you've got to say. If you'd please state your name for us.
Good evening. My name is Jerry Bolt. I'm at 300 North School Street, Mount Prospect. I just want to say that District 57 has a limited commercial and industrial property tax base. Therefore, the residential taxpayer must shoulder the burden of this district. Your spending practices are no longer affordable by the residential taxpayers. More and more are being forced out of their lifelong homes because of your taxation. This is not the time for more spending. Offering full-day kindergarten at Westbrook and probable building expansion are out of the question at this time. This community cannot afford this added burden. Taxpayers will eventually revolt, and a future tax referendum will be vehemently opposed and defeated. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Yep. Oh, I think the mic needs to there.
My name is Lewis Goodman. I live at 310 North School Street. I see on your graph, one of the things I first want to say, I did so, answer the survey, and I'm glad that you finally put one out. But I see that you're talking about for the state, you're under like $6,000 under per student. Seems to me it was when I look at my property tax bill, it's 57 and 214 get the vast majority of the taxes. And I don't know what you folks do with all the money if we're $6,000 per student under the state. I don't understand it because the taxes are there, and you folks have the right to put out a referendum. I know that, but I think you should think twice, as Mr. Bolt said. The citizens are just overtaxed as of now, not just because of 57-214, but it's the village and the park district and the county plus. And so anyway, that's my opinion. And I'm also curious how many of the teachers and staff members live outside of District 57.
You know, I personally do not know. I know that there's a fair amount of staff members who do live within the district.
In the district?
Yeah.
But you don't know how many live outside of the district?
No, no.
That's been one of my concerns, even for the village and the park district, because those people are working and drawing the salaries from the taxpayers in this district, and they are not paying back, and you know they're not shopping if they live outside of the district, they're not shopping in Mount Prospect to help pay back some of their salary. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments? All right. New business, we have none. Board discussion. I wanted to just recap our community forum meeting from February 22nd. Our topic was about district finance. It was an explanation done by Dale Falk of our where our revenues come from, where our expenses are spent, and how it relates to our surrounding communities. There were four community members in attendance, maybe five that was kind of in and out. It was an excellent presentation. Very similar to what we hear at board meetings for, you know, our staff reports. It was, you know, tweaked a little bit just to focus on those items. So I personally found it very useful and very informative. Another piece of this is our podcasts. Trevor sent me the latest data, and our podcast had 34 viewers, 31 being unique. So three people really wanted to listen a little bit more. So that's where our podcast numbers are. And I think about every 6 months you send information out just so we kind of know what is going on. And that was part of our community engagement process last year, putting these out on the website for folks to listen to. So I guess I would really offer that, you know, our community survey results showed that community members would like to see the forums continue, but I also think, you know, we probably should be asking, are you going to be in attendance? Are you intending to come? So I think, you know, this was our last one for this year, so I think over the summer we need to have a discussion and figure out how to get the information out and present it, so that there's a greater number of people who have access to the information we're putting out there. Does anyone have any comments, or Dennis?
I got a general comment. I just, in regards to the gentlemen that are in the audience, I don't want you guys to think that our non-response to your questions indicate we're for or against either way. It's a policy the board were not to discuss, but I think this brings up a good point regarding the community engagement sessions we have. At those meetings, we can discuss certain things. So that's if you want to talk about certain issues, that's the place. You know, I know you come up here and you say what you want to say, and then we sort of look at you and we don't, you know, answer. But it's the policy of the board not to do that. But if you wanted to attend community engagement meetings, at that point we can communicate a little more. Thank you.
So.
Make a comment about the lobby.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm sorry. Is there any other discussion on the community forums?
My only comment, which is just echoing what Bill Foster said, was apparently the community is very interested in having their neighbors educated by the community forums.
Oh.
They're not able to attend, so. As we look to next year, we have to evaluate the effectiveness of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Jen?
I'd just like to add that I think we, and I mentioned this, one of the meetings earlier, but, you know, I think last year, I think if you looked at our attendance, the best attendance was the first one.
Yes.
And, of course, it's new. Everyone's kind of like, what are they going to do? And so you have more people show up. And we spent a lot of time on that. There was a lot involved from how we're going to communicate, how we're going to market this. And that was our first step, and I think we all did a really great job on that. The presentation piece or the sequence or whatever you want to call it of those meetings has remained static. So it's the same process. It's a PowerPoint. Person goes up, they speak. We allow time for questions. And I think that if we want to continue this, and obviously we have to talk about this or how we want to continue to engage a community, we can't put the same show on every single time. It's not a criticism of what we've done in the past, because we felt it was very good information. One was about technology. We had two in the last 2 years about finance. We talked about
curriculum.
Thank you. Really great topics. But how do we get the community engaged? Who, you know, perhaps it's bringing in speakers outside the district. Perhaps it's doing a different forum, a different place. Maybe it's not a presentation format. We just have to think about it. Maybe it's a community engagement that's recorded, like a video or some type of, and I'm not technology savvy whatsoever, but, you know, just trying to figure out how we can communicate and drive that enthusiasm so that we can get the message across, whatever message we decide. That's just my opinion.
I agree, and I think we have to, too, know that all of our stakeholders are not parents within the district. There's, you know, a smaller number of parents living in the district than non-parents. So, you know, we need to make it a very broad approach.
I would just to piggyback on what Jen just said. I think maybe one of the things we try to look at, and I'm also not a tech-savvy person, myself, but if we could have a virtual aspect to these forums so people don't have to physically be there, and then that gives people an opportunity that maybe have children at home and can't get a babysitter lined up and that kind of thing to participate. So I don't know at all, Trevor, what's involved with that, but it's something maybe to think about.
Okay, Joe.
And I would just say that, you know, from the survey results, you can see that people have a very positive, perception of the community forums, and I think they feel comfort knowing that they're there, you know, that this is something the board is doing and that it's something that's available to them. And I do run into people, after every one that ask about it and say, oh man, I wanted to go, but this came up or that came up, you know. So I think that, you know, people are busy. I think that it's important to continue to offer those opportunities, again, for the community to know that they're available, you know, and if it's a particular topic that piques their interest, hopefully they'll show up. But I think it's important to keep it going, because we consistently get good feedback from the people that attend, you know. And then the word of mouth, I think, is positive about those forums. And I think part of what that is reflected in the survey, you know, is people hearing it. Maybe they've never attended one, but they've heard that they're good, and the people that go there have a positive, you know, walk away with a good feeling about what they heard and what they learned. So I think generally it's worthwhile. I would question whether or not, the entire board really needs to be present in everyone. You know, it could be the kind of thing where we do it twice a year and, you know, we just make sure we have, you know, two or three board members present, you know, depending on what the topic is. So that might be something as well to consider. Just my thoughts.
Yeah. No. Thank you. Dennis?
I do like the idea you have about maybe if we have two next year, one being a topic that maybe more of an interest to the non-parent, because I think it's important. I think at all of the, I don't think there has been any non-parents as far as I can remember.
The first one we had, it was a really good mix of parent and non-parent community, yes.
But after that, I think we were pretty, so if we can come up with a topic, because we do our custodians of the assets of the community, I think it's important to try to get the non-parents involved as much as we can. And I don't know what that topic is, but there's one out there.
For sure. Joe?
Topic that jumps to mind with me is, and it might also involve bringing in an outside person to speak, is the link between the success of the school district and the success of the community, even, you know, only one measurable way is property values. How is success of the school district linked to the property value of the community? That's only one measure. There's probably others, I'm sure. And that might be something we get somebody to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Did you have something, John?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was really surprised. Our last session was about school district finance, and our two gentlemen here tonight made comments on that topic. And a survey just went out in January to the community, you know, so the community is aware that these are topics that we're wrestling with, and yet there were no non-parents present at the community forum. You know, we held a community forum, and it was publicized in the Journal and the Herald, and five parents showed up. That was it. No non-parents. So, you know, I would really, as Dennis said, you know, that is, and we hold those forums so that we have an opportunity to have a two-way communication with the citizens of Mount Prospect and the taxpayers. But if they don't show up, we can't have a two-way conversation, you know. So, yeah, whatever we can do to interest people and bring more people in, I think we should make every effort to do that.
Just one last comment. Those of us who attended the last elected officials meeting remember that. The mayor invited us to participate in the Coffee with Council meetings. It would be in an informal way, but they said if we wanted to, remember she said if we wanted to have a couple board members there, you know, they'd welcome us there and kind of participate in that event.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. No. I mean, in the reason we only did two of them this year was because last year trying to tack one on at the end of spring with family schedules and all of the things spring brings, it was just very difficult, you know, to get a group out there. So that's why we focused on two this year, and we had two excellent presentations, Dr. Woodrow and Mr. Falk. They did a fine job, and so next year, you know, we'll be doing something again, but I think, you know, this is great brainstorming, and we can figure out a way to appeal to all members of the community. All right, that will do it for our regular business meeting. We do have need for closed session. We are going to meet for the purpose of discussing the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of a specific employee of the public body or legal counsel for the public body. Board action will not take place following closed session. Thank you all for being here tonight. Can I get a motion to move into closed session?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Lane?
Excuse me.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Mr. McCluskey?
Yes.
Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Yes.
Mr. Compasto?
Yes, gentlemen.
Mrs. Kobus?
Yes.
Mrs. Palchik?
Yes.
Mrs. Nader?
Yes. Thank you.